Up the series from the last 4 weeks on reboot, Jesus changes everything. And the truth is, I can sum up my message in really two words. Have you? Have you, over the course of the last 4 weeks, pushed a reboot button in any aspect of your life? It was about a decade ago that I went to see my doctor, and after the physical and the numbers were really pretty good, he very matter-of-factly says, "Do you realize that over the last 2 or 3 years, whatever the period of time, you have been steadily gaining weight?" Started at 200 pounds, then it was 215, then it was 220, then it was 225, and he said, "This is not a good trend." And he made his point. And I invigorated some exercise and challenged my eating, and the weight has come off, and it has stayed off for 10 years now. Now, here's the frustrating truth. If a human being eats 100 calories more than they burn off during the day, and they do that for 1 year, you will gain 10 pounds. 10 pounds. Next slide. So in case you can't see the communion table here, I have put an apple and an orange and nuts and Cheetos and chips and cheese on the table. And there's one thing that links them all together. Each plate holds about 100 calories. If you eat perfectly throughout the day and then you eat one extra apple over what you burn, 100 calories. Now, if you come look at this plate of nuts here, it is 2 tablespoons. 100 calories. A cube of cheese, 1 inch by 1 inch by 1 inch. 4 ounces of wine, 100 calories. And we all know what happens, I do, when you eat that little bit extra every day. Now, the truth is, I don't really care about your weight. This is not a message about becoming lean and trim people. It is merely my first of 3 illustrations about our spiritual lives. Because in our spiritual lives, if we ingest spiritual calories, good spiritual calories of worship and study and reading the Bible and going to a Bible study and this, but we don't work that off by living for Jesus, then we, over time, become spiritually obese people. And that is a spiritually dangerous place to be. Jesus preached an incredible sermon called the Sermon on the Mount. And as he's coming to the end of that sermon, he wants to drive home the various points about prayer and about stop worrying and about stop using name calling and on and on and on and on. And he preaches these words as he concludes that sermon. It's found in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 28. Jesus begins his conclusion by saying, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did not we prophesy in your name and drive out demons and perform many miracles?' And I will say plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" Now, why would he say that to somebody who seems to be doing things God would want us to do? Well, he continues, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain came down and the streams rose and the wind blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock." Okay, here, do, foundation on the rock. "But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rains came down and the streams rose and the winds blew against it and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. Next slide. What's the difference between the house that stood and the house that crashed? Put his word into practice. One did that, and the other, Jesus added one word, not, did not do that. This is the picture Jesus paints. Hear and practice, sturdy house. Hear and do not practice, disaster. The difference is putting into practice what you heard Jesus say. James, illustration number 3. James, who happens to be the brother of Jesus, said, at the end of chapter 1, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his or her face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." So Jesus paints a picture of a house destroyed. James paints the picture of someone who forgets what they look like. If we only listen to the word, James says, and don't do what it says, we forget who we are. That's James's point. We forget who we are. And who are we? We are children of God. We are sons and daughters of the Lord Almighty, and we forget that. We have no moorings to give us, you know, that safety in the storm. We have no channel markers in life because we have forgotten who we are, so we don't know where to drive on the roadway. I was driving once in Ohio, coming home from seeing our family, driving in the early morning, and the fog was so pea thick, I could not see the headlights if Robert was driving the car. The only thing that got us home was I could drive close enough to the shoulder and I could see that white line and then those little yellow markers every whatever when they showed up. Because I knew if I stopped, we'd be in an accident. And I had to keep moving. If we don't practice what we hear from God, we are living in a fog. We don't know who we are. We don't know where we're going. We don't know how to stay safe in the roadway of life. I want you to think for a moment just about your regular week. And I want you to picture probably the two places that consume most of your waking hours. Maybe it's work, maybe it's with the family, you know, maybe it's some other responsibility you have, whatever. I want you to just picture the people that you are interacting with during that time. I want you to, you know, kind of hear the conversations you have in that place. I want you to sense the emotions that you go through during a regular day. Just step into those. One of those two places. How does your faith in Jesus affect those times? My devotions this morning were Psalm 141, and David prays, "Guard my mouth, O God." Is that something important in those environments? Now go one other place for me. I want you to go into your interior life for a moment. What are the things that motivate you? What keep you going? What get you up? What move you throughout the day? What kinds of things do you like to do? Do you spend your time in your free time? No other people, just you. What do you think about? What do you dream about? What are you looking for? This is you. Now, ask yourself, how does Jesus and God's Word affect your interior life? Who you are at the core? Does it? Maybe that's really the question. Does it? Over the last couple weeks, we've talked about the heart. And have we really given our heart to the Lord? And if we have, and I pray everyone in this room has, then have we given it to others? You know, love God, love others. Heart. We talked one week about the mind and what kind of stuff are you taking in? Because that's going to affect who you are. It's going to raise your blood pressure or lower your blood pressure, you know. It's going to stress you out. It's going to give you an edge, whatever. Those two deal largely with our interior self. And are we bringing Jesus to bear there? Did God whisper anything during those weeks and say, hey, reboot. Here's a place where you need a little bit of growth. And if he did you push the reboot button or did you just grab that cup of coffee and then, you know, 20 minutes later you forget what that was? And then the last 2 weeks, if you happen to have been here, we talked about our hands. What do we do with what God has given us? We talked about circles of need, how you can serve in the church, how you can serve in your community, how you can serve in the world, and ask the question, are you making a difference somewhere? It's up to God to plant you where He wants you to do that, but what are you doing? And last week we talked about our mouths, our tongue. Do we breathe life into other people with the words that we speak, or do we cause death because of the words that we speak? And the question is, in any of that time, did God provide any nudge to you about some place that needed to be looked at? And if so, did you push the reboot button? Did you begin to practice something, or did you just go on and forget about it? Because if we constantly go on and forget about it, we're going to be the house that crashes, or we're going to be the person who forgets who we are, or are we going to become that spiritually person who's obese spiritually, but offers no kingdom to anyone else, even themselves. Beyond Sunday mornings. Maybe you're in a Bible study. You're in CBS. You're part of the MOPS Bible study. You have your own Bible study with people at work. Maybe it's your own personal devotions. Wherever God might speak to you. Did he give you a nudge? And if so, what'd you do with it? Reboot. Jesus changes everything. He does. If we push the reboot button. But if we just continue on, same old, same old. You heard Jesus. The house crashes. We forget who we are. Folks, the most important reboot, the first of many, is when we take a hard look at ourselves and we say, am I really a follower of Jesus? I can't answer that for you. If you're married, your spouse can't answer that for you. If you're in a significant relationship, your significant other can't answer that for you. Your parent can't answer that for you. Your child can't answer that for you. Only you can answer that question. Have you said, Jesus, I'm going to follow you? And yes, a prayer begins the journey. But what Jesus said is, come, follow me. And that suggests that we have to walk. We're moving. We're changing. We're growing. That's the most important reboot. And if you haven't made that reboot, all I can say to you is please do. For your life's sake. For your kingdom eternity's sake. For the sake of loved ones around you who then have a new light in their life, I say, please. And if that's something important for you to do today, we'll have prayer teams after worship, and they can chat with you a little bit about what that means and pray with you about it and help you with that. But for those of us who've made that decision at any point in our life, are you rebooting? When God says something, do you do it? I thought about that and I said, okay, wow. Guilt. And I don't want it to be guilt unless guilt motivates you to God. But every one of us, go back to those two circles where you spend your time. How can you live for Jesus there? Years ago, Susan just had a feeling that she should try to give her life away a little bit. And we had a young daughter at the time and kind of wanted Laura to experience that. And so she started going to the county nursing home and just showing up and said, is there somebody who doesn't have anyone that visits? And Susan began a relationship with a woman named Peggy. And Peggy was actually only in her 50s at the time, but she was bedbound because of a crippling disease and kind of had use of two hands. And that was it. And we didn't know it at the time, but turns out that she was a Christ follower. And she would spend her day praying for people. That's about all she could do. She had to be lifted out of bed if she needed to wash, bathe, or use the bathroom. Then she was put back in the bed and she could have use of two knurled fingers. So she would read and she would pray. Every one of us, no matter our circumstances, can serve God, can do things of kingdom value somehow. All the staff there always remarked at how kind Peggy was. And they knew, even if they'd blown it and they had not been in there, because they would just go in every so many hours to carry her to the toilet, she never complained, she never spoke harshly, even if they were late. And they were so grateful for this woman of kindness. She was infused with Jesus throughout. We all can be that way if we reboot when God gives us that nudge. Let's pray. Lord, I look out and I think of our community and I wonder how many circles we represent. There are work circles and friendship circles and community group circles and school circles. And we have the opportunity, if we listen to your nudge, to be people of light in each of those circles, whatever they may be. And I pray, Lord God, that as you prompt us, we would hit that reboot button. We would practice what you teach. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.